It's Super Bowl Sunday. If you're anything like me, you like to be surrounded by a snack or two while watching the big game. You know, when buying snacks for the game, you might have noticed one thing. Sports drinks bottles are smaller. A bag of chips has fewer chips, but they're still charging it just as much. And as an ice cream lover, what makes me the most angry is that ice cream cartons have actually shrunk in size, but not in price. I've had enough of what they call shrinkflation. It's a ripoff. Some companies are trying to pull a fast one by shrinking the products little by little and hoping you won't notice. Give me a break. The American public is tired of being played for suckers. I'm calling on companies to put a stop to this. Let's make sure businesses do the right thing now.
I don't understand this stupid ad. He posted, he didn't run it on TV, but he posted it on X yesterday. I keep trying to say Twitter. Right when they had the, the Super Bowl was getting going. And I mean, his whole perspective is that it's all of these mean companies that are doing this to you, and that it has nothing to do with the policies that he's enacted that have led up to this. And it sort of feels like he thinks we're stupid. But he ran this yesterday. He actually ran it. Welcome to the show. It's post-Super Bowl Monday. Dana Lash here with you. I still don't like football. I'm not going to lie. Just not a fan. I don't care. I only watch. I'm not one of those people who's big on watching it, and I still don't understand if we're supposed to be mad at it or not. But, you know, there it is. Anyway, so good to be with you. Like I said, Dana Lash here. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, the video component of the radio show as well. You can find YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV, in addition to all of that. So I just, you know, I'm like, he's sitting here like, oh, I like to be surrounded by a snack or two. Sure you do. Is that what you're calling them now? I don't know. Sure you do there, paint them all red. We can all do the math. We know what this can. I just think it's dumb that he's like using this. Like, what do people like to eat for Super Bowl? Snacks. Everything's fun size now, but regular size prices. Yeah, because of your stupid economic policies that you enacted your first month in office. I mean, let's not forget all the spending bills that you pushed. Good grief. Let's not forget all of the quote unquote college loan forgiveness. When I hear people tell me that they want their college loans to be forgiven, I want to strangle them because I'm like, you want me to pay for your college loan? That means I own your ass. That means you're mine. Oh, don't. I'm not going to apologize for my Portuguese. If you're going to be proud to prostitute yourself out on behalf of the taxpayer, we own you. If my dollars go towards you, you mine. That's how that works. You get my money, you're mine. That means I control part of your life. And I'm totally fine with that because I think some of these ladies need to make better choices. Anyway, long story short, it's all because of his economic policies. I watched this. I watched the Super Bowl. I'm not even going to pretend for clicks that I like football or even know what's happening. I just don't. It was the Chiefs versus the San Francisco 49ers. She had Needles and Feces versus Taylor Swift squad, right?
Right.
Okay. Steve, you were wanting the Chiefs, right? Okay. Oh, that's why. It wasn't because you're a super. I thought he was a super fan. Okay, there was money involved. I don't care. I just didn't care. I was like, I like their gold pants. That's about it. And I did watch that one point, though. Oh, and I watched the ads. The ads were the big thing. I did watch that one point where, what's his face? Kelsey ran up to that old man coach and like checked him. What was that about? What was that whole issue about? That seemed, is that unusual for that kind of, sort of, or because everyone's like, is that a red flag? Is that a red flag, Travis Kelce? Can we even talk about, we have to say the big game. Can I even say the name of the damn football game, or are we going to get sued by the NFL?
We're past it now, so yeah. No, you're
okay, fine. Past it now, okay. Yeah, you guys don't know that. Like, leading up to it, Kane, you can't say it, can
no,
you?
No. You have to say Superb Owl.
That's right. You cannot something. Actually say Super Bowl right. Leading up to the game. We get sued.
Yep.
That's an actual thing. I'm not joking.
Yep.
How stupid is that? Anyway. So Kelce ran up to this guy, scared him. He was mad about something, and it turned into a million memes. This is how I feel. I feel like the coach, and I feel like those are all the Bud Light apologists trying to get in my fan about their pee baby beer. That's what it feels like, right? So that was the Kelce thing that happened. Juan's getting up for the simulcast that happened. Is that normal for that?
I think we're looking at vaxxed and triple boosted rage.
That's what it looks like. You got the Moderna. I told you to get the Pfizer.
He probably got the Pfizer, too. Got the Moderna booster.
What is his official position? The clot shot? That's his position on the football team? Okay, yes. Yeah, that's right. So I was more interested in the ads. Can we talk about the ads first and foremost? So there was one ad that ran. And at first you see it because they were talking about Jesus, right? What was it? It was like a servant ad. It was supposed to be like, oh, he's washing everybody's feet, et cetera, et cetera. And I saw it and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This looks like it might be kind of interesting. Is this going to be an actual Christian ad? Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. And I was completely disappointed like 5 seconds into it because it was called He Gets Us. That's the people who did the ad. And it shows, you know, it starts out innocuously enough. And the ad starts out with, you know, these everybody washing people's feet, right? Except it was done not as a way of servitude. It was done to signify an affirmation of sin. And that's the biggest difference that I think a lot of people are missing with this. Because they have, like, for instance, literally outside of a Planned Parenthood. Oh, but they say family planning clinic. But it's and it's a young girl and it's another woman washing her feet, right? And we all know that that's Planned Parenthood. Come on, let's not like get into the semantics of it here. But it has like a Jewish person washing like a Hamas person's feet and all this other stuff, and it's ridiculous. And they're like, oh, love your neighbor. Okay, well, you're promoting a leftist political message. By blasphemously confusing servitude with affirmation. There's a huge difference here. And I expect that from a miles wide, inches deep, fake, blasphemous Christian organization that is He Gets Us, because it's exactly what it is. I know a lot of people complain about Joel Osteen, but this is like everything that is wrong with some of the narrative that he preaches on steroids. This is crazy. So it has affirmation of sin. Like, oh, we're sitting outside a family clinic. We're sitting outside all of... Is that important? Or should we...
No.
Okay. We're sitting outside of a family planning clinic. We're sitting outside all this stuff. It's an affirmation of sin is what it is. So it's... I mean... That, I mean, they had it. How much money do these Super Bowl ads go for? Like, what is it? Like $7 to $10 million? Something like that. So there's a difference. There's a huge difference between, oh, I'm serving someone to, oh, I'm affirming your sin, because they act like passing judgment or having an opinion on something is sinful. Like, oh, look, you shouldn't be judging this person who's getting ready to walk into Planned Parenthood, when we know statistically that it's older women who already have a child and thus know where babies come from. And they're doing it as a form of birth control. And this is according to Planned Parenthood's own statistics. And this is the organization pushing for taxpayer-funded abortion on demand. Yes, you're not supposed to pass judgment on this person going in here. That's the message of this whole the whole ad thing. So at first, when I saw it, I thought, oh, gosh, a Jesus ad. And then I started seeing some of the images that they were throwing up there. It was definitely a leftist political message. I thought they were saying that they weren't going to do anything controversial for their Super Bowl ads. I thought they said that they weren't going to do anything controversial for the ads. So that seemed kind of controversial. And it was, I mentioned this on social media, and some people were like, oh, I thought it was a good point that some made. Like, it's not Buddy Jesus, okay? Like, Jesus came with, you know, certain rules and stuff. The only way through him, that it's not Buddy Jesus. I mean, they leave out your go forth and sin no more. They omit that. I mean, the idea that you're supposed to affirm the sin, and then that's the same thing as loving the sinner, is absolutely blasphemous. So I get really disappointed in these fake groups like this, because that's the thing. I mean, that is so devilish to present a counterfeit message so as to pervert the meaning of scripture. And that's exactly what this is. That whole He Gets This organization is a With all the talk, look, I saw a lot of people that get a little fringe saying, oh, there were those people in Taylor Swift's box were throwing up satanic hand symbols. For all the talk of those people obsessing over what they thought was satanic or not in that box, that was the most satanic thing that I saw on television last night, was that he gets us ad. So we also had, there was, speaking of ads, how many ads from Chinese companies were there? Something like 7 or 9. I can't remember. There were a lot of them. There was the TikTok one. There were a whole bunch of different ads from Chinese companies. Then there was a Pfizer ad. They had a Pfizer ad. Then they had a Dove commercial where they were talking about empowering women, which I thought was funny because they were the ones who backed that Laurel Hubbard dude who was the weightlifter who wanted to cosplay as a woman and edge out women on competitive teams, and Dove had backed him. So I thought that was kind of interesting that Dove's like trying to retcon their history. The ads were, I did not think they fulfilled their promise of not being controversial because they were still pressing the issue. Then the halftime show happened. I think the halftime show is, it was very 90s, right? Late 90s, early aughts. A very late 90s, early aughts thing. And they had Usher. He performed. Did you watch a halftime show, Kane? Were you into it?
I did. Yeah, I saw that. I was. It was nostalgic. It was good.
I'll give him props for performing while singing live. Because a lot of people rely too much on backing tracks. Yeah. And he had really minimal backing tracks. He only had like, you know, like the hype vocals.
Right.
That was pretty much it. But it was him like singing and performing live. So that was, I mean, I thought that was impressive. But then there were some people who were mad because he was doing Michael Jackson moves. And there was some, I mean, some of the, there was a, I could have probably done without the stripper poles, but I was greatly entertained when that one chick fell off. I don't know if y'all saw that, but it was when Ludacris came out and it was right over, it was right behind Ludacris. So if you're looking at the television, it happened behind his right shoulder. You're looking at it. It's your left side. This chick fell right up on her head. Right on live television. Imagine being that girl, right? Not only are you on a stripper pole in front of your family at the Super Bowl, but then you fall off the thing right on your head. I mean, imagine that's you, and then you got to go into work the next day, wherever you're going to work at, and everybody's going to be talking about you. It was, for the most part, I don't know. I could have done with a little bit more rock and roll besides, what is it, the her chick going out there on the guitar. She was pretty good, but I could have done with a little bit more. I could have done with some more rock and roll. That's all right. But it was, you know, for the most part, I mean, it was, you know, it was nostalgic, as Kane said. I mean, there wasn't really anything I was going to rip my hair out over. Again, the thing that I thought was the most offensive was that he gets us ad. And then there's the RFK thing. RFK ran an ad. Well, it wasn't him. Let me clarify. It was a political action committee. And he had already made a statement that he didn't even know. Or he at first was tipped off about it, but they're not legally allowed to talk. So PACs and campaigns are not legally allowed to speak to each other. And PACs will do whatever they want to do. But I would have imagined that he would have thrown a fit and raised some cane beforehand had he not wanted it to air. But it was weird because I just got to point out that I know that there's some people on the right that like RFK, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. But you guys know he's like a big anti-gun guy, right? Like majorly anti-gun. And he's one of those climate hoax pushers. I feel like we need to revisit this. Wise food storage. When emergencies strike, the last thing that you want to worry about ever is having to, you know, figure out where your next meal is coming from. And this is where Wise Food Storage comes in. They have a buy one, get one offer right now. In fact, they have a bunch of exclusive deals right now that you can get. Just visit wisefoodstorage.com, type Dana in the search bar to access all of these deals. For instance, you get a 72-hour food kit, a buy one, get one, $100 value for $50, two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, and 11,120 total calories in each kit. All food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water. They also have their heirloom seed vault as well. 39 variety of seeds, non-hybrid, non-GMO, open pollinated heirloom varieties, and each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds with a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Just type in Dana in the search bar for those exclusive deals like that 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana, and then use Dana in the search bar.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently the Apple Vision Pro is set to rewire our brains in some unexpected ways, in addition to looking super douchey. They say that the Apple Vision Pro headset, I keep seeing like ads on these, but I've never seen anybody wear them. Are you supposed to wear these things like in real, like in out in actual life? Yeah. No, you're not. Yeah. They're $3,500. That's so dumb. They say that the Vision Pro is what uses what's known as pass-through video. They capture imagery of the outside world and reproduce it inside the device. So they feed you a synthetic environment made to look like the real one. You know, there's a really cheap way to do that. It's called sunglasses. You know, you can just put those on your head and you can actually see the real environment through the lenses. You don't have to have pass-through video to feed you a synthetic view of the outside that looks like what you're... It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Anyway, they say that there's the long-term immersion in VR headsets literally changed the way that you perceive the world and everybody else. They're doing a lot of studies on this. And they say that our brains, like as a whole, humanity, are about to undergo a massive society-wide experiment that could rewire our sense of the world around us. Now, I keep hearing people, Juan, showing you what they look like. It looks like you're wearing like scuba goggles. You know how, like, the marks it's going to leave on your face? But I need to come back to this because I'm going to spend all of headlines on this. I have just major problems with it. They always say this, but these devices are never anything but flops. That's what they were like, Second Life. And then now they're like Meta, which is like a new dorky re-envisionist, you know, Second Life. Let's see here. Apparently how you smell sheds light on how healthy you are. Duh. Who's paying for these studies? What moron is being pitched on the idea? Hey, why don't you pay a couple $1 million for this totally obvious study? I'm not even gonna. This is the dumbest headline ever. A 17-year-old student with a higher IQ than Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking is taking, well, their very high level academic tests in Britain, A levels, 28 A levels, and she admits that teachers are struggling to keep up with her. Okay, you need to solve all the world's problems now, lady. We have a lot more on the way, including the latest on that shooter in Houston. Stick with us. It's our friends over at Patriot Mobile. The only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. Patriot Mobile also wants to just save you some money. Because in addition to making sure that you have the best dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you're getting the best service in your area, but you're not going to fund all of the stuff that you vote against every single time you go to the ballot box. And you can't make that guarantee at all with other cell phone service companies. With Patriot Mobile, though, you can. When you switch, not only can you save money because they got plans tailored for everybody, but you're also supporting your free speech and religious freedom and the Second Amendment and all of those issues that you care so deeply about. You can keep your phone or your number or upgrade. The choice is yours. And work with a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy to switch. Free activation using code Dana. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. The latest update from this Lakewood Church, the terrorist in the Lakewood Church shooting, that's Joel Osteen's church down there in Houston. This woman is apparently from El Salvador. She was shot dead. 36 years old. She had Free Palestine written on her rifle, and she apparently was trans. So wait, is she a dude?
It's a dude.
It's a dude who's cosplaying as a chick? Yeah. This is why I hate this trans crap. Because here we're trying to literally find out more about a suspect in an attempted terror attack. And that's exactly what it is. It's a terrorist attack. Another group of Christians. This time they were Hispanic Christians being targeted. And okay, so it was a woman who wanted to be a dude. And I'm only going to say the name once just because to get this cleared. But the woman's name was Janessa Moreno, but went by the name of Jeffrey. So it was a chick who wanted to be a dude. This is like what I'm talking about. This insanity with the pronoun issue. You can't find out anything about suspects because everybody's messing around with pronouns. I mean, good grief. So this whole story, this woman who had the She had pro-Hamas, free Palestine written on her rifle. And that came from law enforcement that was first actually reported by CNN. And this was something that law enforcement had informed CNN. And Daily Mail also confirmed this. The killer or attempted terrorist mass murderer previously used the... Okay, well, was it Jeffrey? Because they said it's Janessa.
It was a man.
Are you sure it was a man?
I'm positive he was a man. Well, is a man. I'm positive he is a man. That's what I'm positive
Okay, wait,
of.
You're right. Legal name Janessa Moreno went by the name Jeffrey. Okay, so it was a dude playing as a chick.
Yes.
I hate this trans garbage. You are not assigned stuff at birth. You are a dude or a chick. You can pretend all you want to, but do not force the rest of us to adopt your mental illness, because that's what it is. When you start telling me about pronouns, I want to give you the back of my hand because I'm done with this stuff. So you got a dude. And the reason why, it's all written so confusingly. Did you read AP's write-up of this? I don't even know if it was a human. I was reading the Associated Press and they were like, they, them, this. I'm like, oh my gosh. I can't even figure out from your stupid remedial article. Good night. No one cares about your politics when you're talking about a terror attack. So this Jeffrey Moreno.
From El Salvador.
Who, interestingly enough, identified, well, they had issues with apparently other than just their gender. So this dude was from El Salvador. But in looking at, he was, the way that they identified this in the records, a white non-Hispanic, female white non-Hispanic. What? So they got everything wrong. Just... this is why this is so stupid. Say that there's a bolo out, right? Be on the lookout. You're looking for someone who's armed and dangerous. You're looking for a crazy person who's going to murder a bunch of people. You're looking for a terrorist. Maybe they got a dirty bomb, whatever. You put out female, white, non-Hispanic. What are people going to be looking for? Female, white, non-Hispanic person. When I say female, white, non-Hispanic, what does that conjure up in your mind? Because science. You might think of maybe like...
not an El Salvadorian man.
Yeah, not a dude from El Salvador. That's the last thing you're going to think of, is a dude from El Salvador. There's a lot of options. When you put out female, white, non-Hispanic, because this was a dude who was definitely Hispanic, and he was definitely a little more olive than white. Why is this important? Because if you're looking for someone who could go out and hurt a bunch of people, what if a bunch of people are killed because the politics of the left have made it to where no one's looking out for the actual suspect and that costs more lives? These people are going to get a lot of people killed. The left is killing people because of this stuff. The trans activism are killing more people than just kids in Christian schools and trying to kill more people than just Hispanic Christians in churches in Lakewood. This stuff gets people killed. Oh, we can't look for the actual suspect. So let's go ahead and go along with the fantasy that we're looking for a female, white, non-Hispanic. When it's a dude from El Salvador. This is wild. And this guy came in. He had a 5-year-old boy with him. Was it take your kids to work day? Like, what was this? He had Free Palestine. Here's the other thing. Daily Mail and even a lot of these other publications, they keep identifying this guy as a woman and as someone who is a white woman. So this guy has a lengthy criminal record, assault, forgery, all kinds of stuff. He walked in a trench coat and he was killed by two off-duty cops. He entered the building. It was the 2 p.m. service during the Spanish language service. Had a 5-year-old boy. Apparently, the boy was shot and critically injured. People in the congregation were running to safety. And you're not hearing a lot from the mainstream media about this because it was another trans pro-Hamas terrorist. Golly, I cannot imagine anything that is more ridiculous and oxymoronic. If this guy were to go and live in Gaza, Hamas would kill him for being trans. Oh, and if you don't think that they have, they've done it already. There's been like several people who've been killed because they didn't like their personal sexual recreation lifestyle. I mean, that's like news. They have 45,000 people that attend this church every week. And apparently, I don't think Austin was there at the time. They don't actually know, but they said if it had happened during the 11 a.m. service, it would have been a lot worse because that's when they have the most people that show up. There was a 52-year-old who was shot in the hip. He's in stable condition. But after the man, and see, look, this is how Daily Mail, I get it that sometimes they're viewed as a conservative paper, but they buy into this trans garbage. Chief Finner said that the woman began shooting. It's a dude. You have a schlong. You're a dude. I'm so tired of this. And then officers engaged and the guy was killed. So you have a trans pro-Hamas terrorist. How many trans people are going to be shooting up churches? I mean, how many is this now? I thought we were supposed to look for white supremacists. Good in heavens. But that just gets me the way that this is how this guy is listed in police records. Listed in police records like this. And you're not hearing anything about it. Not hearing anything about it. Nobody, you're not going to hear tons of it on CNN. You're not going to have endless discussions about it on MSNBC. They're not going to bring out the Everytown and all of the other Michael Bloomberg front groups. They're not going to bring all those out. They're going to be very, very quiet about it until it goes away because it's another one of those instances where every single thing goes against the narrative that they like to push about firearms and tragedies, et cetera, et cetera. That I can't move on from the fact that it's so misleading. It is so misleading. What if somebody had kidnapped a kid and it was a guy masquerading as a woman and claiming to be white when they were Hispanic? What if? What would happen to the kid? Because everyone was more concerned about the political sensibilities of the suspect than they were about the innocence of everyone that suspect threatened. That is where we are as a society right now. And these people continue this. The violence continues because society indulges it. And they thrive on it. Good heavens. Thankfully, there was no one who mattered who was killed. The trans terrorist who was shot and killed, you know, that's what happens when you decide to be a trans terrorist. No one wants to talk about the Free Palestine written on their rifle anymore about that. That, I mean, there's like a handful of sources now confirming that. Maybe we can talk about ceasefire now. Can we talk about a ceasefire now? Now that we've got pro-Hamas fans shooting up churches here in the United States. I'm actually surprised it was just two off-duty officers and there weren't more people. You know, that they had a live stream and I was watching a video excerpt of it on X. And there was a guy who I guess was like talking and telling, you know, the congregation like what was coming up. And you can start to hear some of the commotion in the background. And then you can kind of see people running away. But this is just, I don't know. This is, so you're not going to hear any more about this. Hey, are they going to idolize this guy for the next trans day of visibility? Yeah, we see them. It's not like they're hidden. Do you think that they're going to talk anymore? I mean, just think about what happened with Nashville and how everyone fought. You even had the police that were fighting against releasing this manifesto. Now, some of the other things taking place. Speaking of Hamas, did you guys hear the news of a top secret intel center from Hamas, literally right beneath the United Nations Gaza headquarters? The UNRWA, they had there right underneath. They found it and released the news on Saturday. So they were able to tunnel right underneath. And you realize that there were 12 members of that UN aid group, which they say that we just want to advance the development of Palestinian refugees. And they acted like they had no idea that there was this giant tunnel. But apparently, a lot of the people interviewed, in not just other people that were in that UN office, but other people around the area, they had the ground that began collapsing because of all of the tunnels, the tunnel network that was underneath it. And everyone said that it was incredibly well known that they had tunneled a little headquarters underneath that UN entity. But they had 12 members of that UN group that actually were helping with the attack, that participated in the attack by Hamas on Israel on October 7th. There were a lot of citizens in Gaza that did it, too. That's another thing that no one likes to talk about. If you've listened to some of the hostages when they discuss where they've been kept, they've been kept in people's homes, where the kids and the other members of the family in the homes are mean to them and abuse them. Interesting. Not surprising that it was a terrorist group that was voted in, elected, literally elected, and then enjoyed such overwhelmingly popularity that they were going to be elected in West Bank, too. So they found right underneath in Gaza City, right underneath, they found this headquarters there. But the UN, oh, we didn't know that they had a giant. Yes, you guys did, because you guys participated. The UN, this UN group in Gaza itself is a terror group. They should be classified as such. We shouldn't be giving any money to them, and they should be classified as such. And our partners for this portion of our program, it's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Sub 2K Gen 3, awesome firearm. You got to check it out if you haven't. Kel-Tec makes a lot of really cool stuff, and they have a lot of really innovative things coming out this year and later this year as well. This is the Gen 3, 9mm Kel-Tec Sub 2K carbine, and it folds in half, the whole thing, optics and all. That's the upgrade on the Gen 2. It's a simple twist and fold motion of that patent-pending rotating forend. Either direction folds it right in half and just as quickly and easily deploys it. Optics and all. Now, they made a lot of upgrades to this. So you have the upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned mechanics. You got a light and 5-pound trigger pull. You also have a redesigned operating handle, lightened action, new chamber indicator. There's a lot of really cool stuff that they upgraded on this. And this is the Gen 3 version of the 9mm carbine. That's the Sub 2K. It's awesome. Lightweight, accurate, easy to handle. This is one you got to have in your collection. Made in America by family-owned Kel-Tec. To learn more about the Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I'm trying to hold
each other. Is the illegal grabbing of a player who is not in possession of the football in order to gain an advantage. Both offensive or defensive players can be called for holding. Say it with us. Players, no holding.
Players, no holding.
So it's like swiper, no swiping, players, no holding. I noticed, I feel like they slimmed Dora down. Does anyone else notice that? That was, but if you're watching Nickelodeon, that was on Nickelodeon. If you, they like changed Dora's voice. I get it. Voice actors have to change and move on. I get it. But I don't like how they made Dora look different.
She went from 2D to 3D.
Yeah, she's a kid. Like, you don't need to make her, you don't need to Barbie-fy her. She's a kid. Weirdos. I still don't understand football. I need the guy to explain. I understand Whack Bat from Fantastic Mr. Fox more than it. Don't explain football to me. I don't need emails about it. I don't need tweets because I don't care. I just don't. I don't care to learn. I really don't. I'll watch it and I'll kind of, you know, sort of passively. I'll watch it, you know. I'm just waiting for the commercials and breaks when I can get up and go get a snack. I don't care. But I don't know. Like I couldn't. We were texting with Kane and Steve last night. And Steve, I don't even know what the hell he was saying at some point. What was he? He was like, it's going to be whatever, 2 and OT, blah, 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 something, whatever.
Yeah, he predicted it. I mean, when we're halfway through the game, it's kind of like, and it's that close, you know, it'll probably come down to like some sort of interception or an overtime situation. He called it.
Well, the first text I sent was, did you just see that RFK Jr. ad? And then I followed it up with talking about football.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he was following up. Talking about football. Yeah, I don't, I don't know. I can't tell you what's, I just noticed that one of the players had on sparkly Dorothy shoes from Oz. Did you see them red glitter shoes from Oz? I was all there for like the fashion. I didn't like Kelsey's shoes because it looked like mustard. Yeah, that's about it. I liked the gold pants of the 49ers, but I wasn't really all about needles and feces.
I think you even posted something on X about someone's socks.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't post about anybody's socks.
Yeah, I think you did.
I didn't.
I think you did.
I didn't, though.
I'm going to find it.
Find it, because I didn't. Didn't exist. Find it. Good luck with that, because it doesn't exist. No, I may have said something about the shoes. I actually don't think, I even think I did that. But I didn't really post a lot last night, because I was just trying to, I tried to not be on social media on the weekends. I tried to stay away, if at all possible. But yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
Mm. Yeah, here it is. Here's your tweet.
What is it?
Says, whose mom put them in socks?
Oh,
like
wait, that
these
wasn't about a football
Easter
player.
To church.
That was,
no, this was about the halftime show.
That was about, what's his face? Jermaine Dupri's right. Easter socks. He was on, like, he announced Usher. He announced Usher for the halftime show. And people, if you find me on X, you need to look at Jermaine Dupri's socks, because those are straight up Easter socks, y'all. Those are the white socks with the ruffles on the bottom. Okay. And everybody's mom had them in them socks with an Easter dress on Easter Sunday. And you know I'm right, Kane. Those are little girl Easter dress socks.
No, absolutely. That's what I was talking about. You wished me good luck, and I appreciate it because I found it.
I thought you were talking about like a football player. No.
I'm
those,
reposting
yeah, for sure.
That right now.
Yeah, anyway. I only cared about that kind of stuff. I could not about football. We have a lot more on the way. Senator Rand Paul is going to join us later on in the program, so stick with us. We got a lot more coming at you. We're talking about how bad the economy is and shrinkflation. You need to get a hedge against it, and you can do that with gold and silver. The gold IRA field, though, can seem pretty confusing, and it's, you know, finding a precious metals company that you can trust is not exactly the easiest thing to do. So turn to Gold Coop, because everybody knows the government printing tons of money, the shrinkflation. This is exactly how we got here in the first place. So Gold Co. has a free 2024 gold kit, and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. One of their most unique qualities at Gold Co. is their education first stance and the thoroughness of the info that they provide. They got a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for people to explain the economy and how gold IRAs work. And it's just very easy to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver, and they will walk you through it at Gold Co. And this is a very important part, by the way, of your overall retirement and savings strategy. They're transparent, they're honest, they have unmatched customer service with a zero complaint record, no pressure. So protect your family's financial future and freedom, and get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get maybe $10,000 in bonus silver. That's danalikesgold.com.
One more. Okay. Thank you, Corinne. If the special counsel says President Biden's got significant limitations on his memory, then who is helping him run the country?
The President of the United States runs the country. The Commander-in-Chief runs the country.
How can he be trusted with the nuclear codes if, I get that you're saying that nobody in the building would say that he's got an issue with his memory, but just the little part of what we get to see, he's made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake on camera this week.
So I want to be very clear here. The reality is that report, that part of the report, does not live in reality. It just doesn't.
So the special counsel is lying about the president's memory.
It was gratuitous. You heard from Ian Sams, my colleague. It is unacceptable, and it does not live in reality. That is just the facts.
So the facts are that they're actually now going to start pressing on him. I'm sure that you've seen the change at this point in messaging, and they're not protecting Biden as much anymore. Golly, they like walked him out on the plank for that presser last week. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. Ducey asks, well, who's helping Biden amid these concerns about his memory? Like, who's doing this? And his memory's bad. He sounds bad. This was his campaign co-chair, Chris Coons, who is saying that it's the media's fault that people are doubting his mental agility. Listen to this. Audio sent by five, sorry.
There are a number of these incidents, and they may be gassed. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But this is what the American public is seeing, and it's raised concerns. Our poll shows over 80% responding, saying that they think that Biden is too old to serve as president again.
And Jonathan, if press coverage focuses relentlessly on things that don't represent Joe Biden's real body of work, you can push towards that kind of result. That poll should have been about who's actually working to secure our border.
Yeah, it's not the media doing this. It's not the media. The media wasn't the one who concocted the Biden press conference last week, where he went out and it was the evening press. It was bad. It was super bad. They didn't do that. You have Mitch Landrieu, who's, remember, his wife used to be governor of Louisiana. That's another campaign co-chair. They're out there with their talking points. They're trying to defend, because this has been now, I think that they allowed him to do that press conference. And I told you, it felt like it was a setup. They allowed him to go out and do that press conference to expose him and show how off he is. Anybody who's ever seen Joe Biden in the past and sees Joe Biden now knows you're lying to yourself if you're not admitting that there is a major cognitive difference in him. Major. It is bad. And you have to, I mean, they've got to acknowledge this. This is Mitch Landrieu, Audio Soundbite 6. He's saying that this is all nonsense. He says this is nonsense, that don't believe your lying eyes. Listen.
And I'm telling you, this guy's tough. He's smart. He's on his game. And as Secretary Mayorkas said a minute ago, when you go in to brief the president, you better have your big boy pants on. And this kind of sense that he's not ready for this job is just a bucket of BS that's so deep, your boots will get stuck in.
Understood. But Americans don't agree with what you're saying. In fact, our NBC News poll found that 76% of voters are concerned about whether the president has the necessary mental and physical health to be president for a second term.
And in addition to those guys, then you have Hillary Clinton out there saying, no, his age is a legitimate issue. Listen to this, Audio Soundbite 8. So the knives are out. Listen.
Yeah, the above. I mean, I talk to people in the White House all the time, yeah. And, you know, they know it's an issue. But as I like to say, look, it's a legitimate issue. It's a legitimate issue for Trump, who's only 3 years younger, right? So it's an issue. Once you say that, then you have to also talk about what's at stake in the election, and I'm for Joe Biden for re-election on the merits, because I think he's done a really good job as president. So,
but she says his age is a legitimate issue. The knives are out. They're going to start pressuring him every which way to step down. They've already amended their party bylaws, although in order to get your name on the ballot, you do have to do things within a certain amount of time. And I think also they'll increase the chance that Hunter Biden sees some serious criminal activity as a way, as leverage to further push him out. I mean, you even have Bob Costas, Audio Soundbite 9, who says that Democrats have got to jettison Joe Biden. Listen.
When it comes to Biden, this is like the truth that no one until very recently wants to say out loud. But my friends will tell you, I've been saying it for 4 years. This is emperor's new clothes stuff. Joe Biden should have run on a firm promise that he would be a one-term president. The only reason he is president is that he's not Donald Trump. Then the Dems could have gotten a lot of people up in the bullpen, and they could have sorted through those people. If Biden's hubris is such that he doesn't understand the best interest of his party and, more important, his country, then he has to be shown the door.
See, I think that Republicans and Democrats both have issues, because you have half of the Democrats that Biden was like a holding place. He was only ever a holding place. He was only ever a way to kind of hold power. And they didn't really have to run a good candidate, because there were people who just generally didn't like Trump. There were a lot of people. I tell people this and they get mad at me, because they act like me saying this is somehow like stomping all over a politician that they adore. And it has nothing to do with Trump. I'm telling you guys, if you want to win, I look at this as someone who wants to win, which is why I look at strategy and I look at all these things. And I have to be honest with people. And I feel like the people who aren't being honest are the people who are fatalists. And they're going to tank everything, and they're not going to allow for us to strategize to win. And I view that as obstacles. And I don't like people getting in the way of victories, you know, where we have everything in the country at stake. That being said, the problem with the whole Biden-Trump thing, Biden was a placeholder. They didn't have to run. They didn't have to waste a Newsom. They allowed Newsom to Newsom. Oh, my gosh. Why? That's a verbal typo, and it's same. They just allowed him to ferment out in California, and they just had Biden as a placeholder. If they had ran him as a one-term president and then had been grooming someone to come up after him, they would have been super powerful. They would have been unstoppable going into 2024. But they're morons, and they always get over their skis. And so you can count on that every single time, just like you can count on Republicans to screw up obvious victories. The problem with Republicans is that there were a lot of people who were really mad over immigration after 2016. They didn't see a wall getting built. I don't care if you with some people you can explain, well, you know, you ended up losing the majority halfway through, or you ended up with this, or you ended up with that. It doesn't matter. People are like, where is the return on the investment of my vote? Where are these results? And they were mad over, and there was the Paul Ryan amnesty thing that was entertained back in 2018. You got to be honest about that. But they were mad over it. That I'm telling you, that was like the number one issue going into 2016. And that was one of the reasons that they were able to expand the coalition and get a lot of these voters in. And then when they didn't see it happening, they immediately turned. And one of the reasons that some people were supporting Biden is because they were disillusioned and they were mad after 2016. So they were kind of going both ways. You had a segment of the population that was mad over Hillary Clinton and went for Trump. And then you had a segment that was mad that not enough got done over immigration. And it was like a hate vote for Biden. Biden would not have been president without Trump. If it would have been anybody else, he would not have been in the White House. This just would not have happened. And the phenomena of split ticket voting, the ability to, or the now, like in Texas, we can't just get a Republican ticket and just one box and you vote for all the Republicans on the ballot. You can't do that anymore. You got to go one by one by one. You don't realize there are a lot of people who don't look at a lot of the judge races. They don't look at a lot of these other state races. They know some of the big ones at the top. But, you know, it is a responsibility. And I understand that people are busy and that they're working and that government has become so large and purposefully. So it's more difficult to keep track of. But you got to do it. I mean, you have to, because you would rather have too much to attend to, as Jefferson said, too much freedom than too little. And as a result, people don't, having to go in the states now where you don't have like the one party vote, or one part, one ballot, and just vote for Republicans or Democrats, it's a little bit more difficult. And in Texas in 2020, that's exactly what happened right before the election. And there was an absolute measurable difference. And it wasn't because people's ballots were getting changed. It was just some would be checked, some wouldn't be. You would have X amount of votes for this person and it matched the number of ballots cast. But there were people who would just leave certain things blank, including at the top of the ticket. That was a real thing that happened. And the RNC has not demonstrated at all whatsoever any interest in figuring out how to remedy that problem. And to me, that signals that they don't want to win. It's a real problem. Denying that it exists signals no desire to win. It's a fatalist attitude, and it's a very real problem that's backed by math. And I've seen literally, I mean, I don't know if you've gone to Secretary of State websites and matched and looked at all of the number of ballots and looked at the states that you have to go in and vote for everybody individually, but I have, and it's a major problem. I know people in the RNC have looked at it too, but they have their heads up their butts and they're not paying attention to this very, very real problem. And so this is all the stuff we're looking at. We're going into 2024 and you have like an easily beatable guy and Republicans are still fighting with each other and not looking at this other more important stuff. You even have Biden's lawyer. This report that came out, by the way, this IG report that came out showing that he did commit wrongdoing, but he's so cheese brained that they're not going to prosecute it. They're trying to act like that's an exoneration. It's not an exoneration. I hate it when people do this. I hate it when Republicans like Eric Greitens out of Missouri, he kept saying that he was exonerated. That guy wasn't exonerated. He took a plea deal and he hid behind the fact that you had a corrupt Soros prosecutor and tried to conflate her corruption with his corruption and act like her corruption got his corruption off the hook. I mean, there's a lot of receipts there on that guy. But he kept saying he was exonerated. He wasn't exonerated. He cut a deal to save his backside. And Joe Biden wasn't exonerated at all. This is his lawyer trying to rewrite special counsel the special counsel's report on this. Listen, audio soundbite 7.
This is a report that went off the rails. It's a shabby work product. Let's take a step back. It starts with a legal conclusion that was foregone from the very beginning. The investigation could have been concluded in 2 or 3 months. It went on for over 15 months. And so along with the legal conclusion comes this flood of characterizations, factual misstatements, pejorative comments about the president that are inconsistent with DOJ policy and norms, and that, as you see, over the last 48 hours have been widely criticized by legal experts. This is not what prosecutors do. It is shoddy work product.
It wasn't a shoddy work product. I mean, Biden did what he was said to have done. They're just mad because the special counsel was honest about it. There's going to be more coming out from Substack, Chapter and Verse, my Substack over there. Lorraine's got a piece that's going to be diving into the legal aspects of this. We have more on the way, including the latest with this church shooting in Houston that took place yesterday and the ridiculous semantics that trans activism engages in, which actually makes it more dangerous for the public when there's a suspect like on the loose or a suspect at large. We're going to talk about some of this stuff too. We're also going to get into some of these other ads with the Super Bowl. The Bud Light ad was dumb. It was dumb. We'll talk about all that and more as we move. A lot of stuff to hit as we move. Our partners over at Hillsdale College. Maybe if more people were properly educated, we wouldn't have such an illiteracy economically. We wouldn't have such a spiritual illiteracy. We wouldn't have such a foreign policy illiteracy. But unfortunately, we do. It's an epidemic. It's a plague. And Hillsdale aims to fight all of that. They've been focusing on properly teaching people, not just about our American heritage, but about our natural rights and responsibilities as free citizens. And this is what Hillsdale really prides itself on. And if you're unfamiliar with Hillsdale, it's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. And they've been doing this since their founding in 1844. They've looked into why really it's Gen Z and young millennials are rejecting patriotism and why the tenets of the founders are viewed as villainy and the removal of, you know, whether it's a statue or whether it's talking about repealing laws that protect freedoms. This is what Hillsdale all looks at and educates people on. This is their mission, to educate everyone. It's not about anything but merit and character. And to this effect, they've been producing these radio spots called Constitution Minute. They're 60-second spots that educate you about the principles of our founding. To hear a Constitution Minute, you can visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. And while you're there, we're reserve a free copy of a pocket constitution for you, courtesy of Hillsdale. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently, attacks on New York police are escalating to record-breaking totals. In the latest anti-cop sentiment, they say it's a full-blown epidemic. City cops are getting beaten at a record-setting pace. They say it's a trend fueled not just by radical protests, but all of these people who enter the country illegally, bail reform, soft-on-crime prosecutors, etc. They said the number of cops injured by suspects surged 20% in 2022, when you had 4,724 uniformed officers that suffered injuries in attacks. Compare that to 3,933 in 2021. But it grew worse last year because they said in the first 9 months of 23, that's when you had over 4,000 cops injured by suspects. That's on pace for a record-breaking 5,400 something so far. That's crazy. And they haven't released the latest quarter of 2023. So that's happening at a record-breaking pace. It's a major problem. A Waymo robo-taxi went up in flames in Chinatown after a crowd attacked the vehicle in San Francisco. I think they're done with these things. So it was one of those almost sentient, but like a, what is it, robo-taxi, right? No driver. Apparently a crowd surrounded it, broke the windows, threw fireworks inside, setting it on fire. And they said that the autonomous vehicle was not transporting passengers at the time of the incident, so no injuries were reported. I almost feel bad for it. I mean, they're just attacking it mercilessly. It's like watching like a bunch of wildebeest at a watering hole attack like a calf or something. It's crazy. But nobody knows what incited the crowd to do it, but they said authorities are investigating the incident. Maybe because they clog up the streets and there's just a lot of problems, I think. Alaska pox, seriously? I feel like people are reaching everything. So this is from a couple of places. Kenai Peninsula. So Alaska pox virus, according to the state health department there, there was a fatality due to it. It was a guy who was immunocompromised, but it's apparently the first fatality from the Alaska pox virus, or AKPV. It was discovered in 2015. It's related to other orthopox viruses like smallpox, cowpox, monkeypox. And they say that they're zoonotic viruses, so they go within certain animal populations and they can spill over into humans occasionally. She says that the AKPV infections will probably remain rare. This is one epidemiologist. And that people who are not immunocompromised don't have anything to worry about, and there's no evidence of person-to-person transmission. I just want to know how you get it from the animal then. I got some questions. Oh, man, we got a lot more on the way. And coming up in our third hour, Senator Rand Paul. Stick with us. More in store.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Wellesley, Brookline, you know, cities and towns that have so much more resources than the city of Boston.
Boston City Councilwoman Julia Mejia thinks more migrants can be placed outside of Boston.
I think everybody needs to start opening up their doors because this is a shared responsibility.
Controversy over the placement of surging immigrants comes as a new report links immigrants who settle in Massachusetts to economic benefits for the region.
So the Boston City Councilwoman is bemoaning the lack of space for people who've been entering the country illegally. And she's saying that everyone needs to start opening their doors. Has she done that? Out of curiosity? How do people afford that? They're struggling to afford their own families right now. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this, actually bottom of this second hour. She says that people need to just open their doors. They are having, there are major issues right now. Major issues. I mean, I was looking at this story. They called it now the Northern Invasion. New York, New Hampshire, and Vermont see the highest ever border crossings as they say that illegal immigrants are taking advantage of lax laws to get into Canada. And they say that a lot of them now are trying to go through Canada rather than Mexico. And these are not people coming from Mexico. A lot of these people are coming in from China and elsewhere. They had 12,200 apprehended crossing illegally from the north in 23. The year prior, it was 3,578. That's a major issue. A major problem. And like I said, they're not, a lot of coming in from China and elsewhere. They said that there were some males from Bangladesh. They're all young dudes, youngish dudes. And now we're seeing this explode. Border Patrol up there is warning people. They say the country's border with Canada, compared to its less than 2,000-mile long frontier with Mexico, is more than 5,000 miles long. And it has just 115 ports of entry, compared with the southern border's 330 ports of entry, meaning giant swaths of the border up there are entirely understaffed, if staffed at all. And they said that one Border Patrol chief has been raising alarms about the alarm about this for quite some time now. Chief Border Patrol Agent Robert Garcia. He said that since October 1st of 2023, Swanton Sector Border Patrol agents have apprehended more than 3,100 subjects from 55 countries. And they said just the other day, four adult males from Bangladesh near New York. He said the record-breaking, and he included a photo, the record-breaking surge of illegal entries from Canada continues. He says a citizen's report in Champlain, New York led to the arrest of 10 Bangladesh citizens. It's getting bad. They have almost like hunting cameras. Well, they are, and many, they're like wildlife cameras that they have up there, and they capture people entering illegally, wading through the snow, coming in at night. And they said that it's colder, so that's one other reason why it's less manned. It's a lot colder, and there's no fencing. There's a smuggling gang that has started sneaking in illegal immigrants from the north. It began in 2019. They bring people in illegally from Canada for $6,000 a head. Apparently, they operate out of New Jersey. They know where they are. They settled there after they were released by ICE, after they were repeatedly caught red-handed. A lot of Chinese illegal entrants, Bangladesh, Africa. I mean, some Middle Eastern. I mean, there's a lot coming in now from Canada. And apparently they're, let's see, they describe it as scarcely guarded between Quebec and Vermont. And there are only two ringleaders, both of themselves, who are illegal immigrants, who were arrested. There's a third that remains at large in Canada. And that's just one little, those are just like three people, a part of one giant organization that are now doing $6,000 a head, bringing people in across the border up there. It's going to get worse. Freezing temperatures. They said some there that at least one group of people brought in a baby a couple months old. Can you imagine? I mean, it's just so irresponsible and dangerous. They say that people who, what they'll usually do is they go to they fly to Mexico because it's cheaper to fly to Mexico apparently than Canada. It's a $350 one way plane ticket from either Mexico City, Cancun, or Cancun to go to Montreal or Toronto. And then from there, they cross in from the north. And they say they're less likely to be turned away from there than the southern border. 39,000 people entered Canada last year via unofficial crossings. That was the majority from a spot between Quebec and New York State. So now, Reuters reported that politicians in Canada are considering imposing a visa requirement for people flying into Canada from Mexico. Because they said that the number of people now flying into Canada from Mexico are reaching a breaking point, and a lot of it's a one-way trip. And again, they're not all Mexican. A lot of most, I think that there are probably more people from different parts of the world coming in from Canada than not. But they said that this is becoming a major problem. It's going to get worse everywhere. In the meantime, what's happening with it? We got a Ukraine bill. We didn't get the border, nothing done with the border. We have a Ukraine. They're fighting over Ukraine funding. We're going to talk to Senator Rand Paul about that coming up. Yeah, they're calling it the Northern Invasion. Now, in the meantime, while all of this was happening, the cultural fight, because you have to have a cultural, you have to have a culture worth for a nation worth existing. The Super Bowl stuff, switching gears, the Super Bowl stuff, the commercials yesterday. There was the Bud Light commercial. Did they have one or two commercials? Do you remember?
Just the one.
Was it just the one?
Maybe they did have
$7 million, right, that they paid. It could have just been their CEO saying, hey, we're sorry. Nah, they're not going to do that. They would rather have like people like Peyton Manning. Who else did they have? Post Malone. And they were in there for like a second in the $7 million commercial for a second. And then they had what, the beer fairy? But Bud Light, did it make you rethink your opposition to pee baby beer? I mean, for real, it's the LeCroy of the beers. I'm saying, you know, it's like they threw a Guinness through some water and then took that water and bottled it and then threw that through some water. And then that's the Bud Light. Juan has some other commercial. Let's see. What's it? Because when it came on, I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go. Again, they could have just said sorry. All I can see is Dylan Mulvaney.
Are you?
The Bud Light genie? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we get wishes? It's my thing. Gimme.
80s metal hair.
Yes.
Filthy rich.
So filthy.
Invisible?
Predictable.
Giant bicep. Big one. A sweet ride.
Best night ever!
Maybe they could have wished for Dylan Mulvaney to have a vagina.
What's next?
Bud Light?
Why didn't they do that with this ad? You see what I'm saying? Like, does it make you want to drink Bud Light? No. It just goes along with their whole thing. They think that they can just wish. I don't know. They think they can wish away their problems. They think they can wish. It's just so dumb. Like, all you got to do is just say sorry. All you got to do is go out there, dudes, and say sorry. We're sorry that we decided to send out this twink to cosplay as a chick. We're sorry that we did that. It was really offensive. It wasn't chivalrous. It wasn't manly and it wasn't hot. No, instead they're doing this. And it just is like even goofier. You mean the T-Rex didn't make you want to drink the trans beer? The eunuch beer? The T-Rex didn't want you to drink that eunuch water? Is that what it is? That's what I'm calling it now. It's actual gender fluid. It's so gross. It's true though. You guys know it. It didn't make you want. Now, I get it that POTUS has a relationship. The previous president has a relationship with Bud Light. They're having a $10,000 a plate fundraiser with the top Bud Light lobbyists. I get it. I'm still not drinking the gender fluid. I'm still not supporting it. And it's not, quit saying it's an American company. You had Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner. Why are Republicans, like, why is Caitlyn Jenner on Fox? Why are Republicans throwing themselves at Caitlyn Jenner? And I spent on this issue. It's a dude. Like, and he's pushing Bud Light. A dude pushing Bud Light. What the hell, Republicans? What's the matter with you people? You're getting baited by the left in literally committing political seppuku on an issue you were just winning on. It just blows the mind. So anyway, I guess, I don't know. So anyway, they, $10,000 plate dinner. I don't know. Maybe that's why there's like this urge from some parts of the right to sit here and push this like reconciliation with Bud Light. But for a reconciliation, you have to have an apology. You have to have an acknowledgement beyond, oh, we fired our ad person. You know, we fired this. You got to have a little bit more than that. You know, it's like with this and going into this, what Bud Light did, and there's a serious, more serious issue. The issue, for instance, just what we saw in Houston with this trans pro-Hamas killer that was going to go out and murder a bunch of Christians in a church. This stuff, you might think that it's silly to like fight over beer. But do you know one of the reasons? What if this dude had gone on the run? They'd be looking for someone of the opposite sex who's white instead of the actual gender of the killer, excuse me, who is Hispanic from El Salvador. This stuff is killing people. Bud Light helped to mainstream this with their stupid commercial, with their stupid ad thing with Dylan Mulvaney. And all the people that are out there making apologies for that gender fluid, all the people out there making apologies for that eunuch water are helping to do it too. I don't care how much money you're getting per plate for a fundraiser. I don't care how much how many shares of the company you own. It's InBev. It's not even an American company, Caitlyn Jenner. So stop saying that it is. You know, you can sit. You're not any more of a chick than InBev is any more of an American company. Stop it. But all of that goes into making this not just a cultural issue, but a one that you got to live with, and that your kids got to live with. How many trans terrorists have we had now? Let's think. The Colorado Springs killer was non-binary. The Aberdeen killer was trans. The Denver school shooter was trans. The Iowa school shooter was trans. The Lakewood dude was trans. The Nashville killer was trans. Do you get it now? It's more than just talking about piss baby beer that's Bud Light. It's actually talking about people who are getting killed because this fight over trans semantics has taken a violent turn. That is what they did. It's more than just insulting women by having Dylan Mulvaney cosplay as a chick. It is about bringing this and trying to push it in society and justifying violence when society resists. It is about so much more than just culture and a beer commercial. It's so much more than that. And all the people making apologies for it, this is what you're apologizing for.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up here, we were talking about police getting injured. A Florida man was drunk and refused to leave a restaurant and injured an officer. Because of course he did. This is a Pasco News. If I can get this story to come up. This guy named Joshua Vallejo faces charges. He had a warrant out, but he refused to leave a restaurant, got into a fight, did not leave peacefully when officers arrived to detain him. I'm like bored with this story already. I immediately want to get to the one from the Villages. I got a Villages one. What? It's a Villagers. What? The Villages. I love the abrupt ending. It's literally like the best way to do it. So the Villages, they're really serious about their golf carts there, right? Now, I'm trying to figure out. So this guy's 45 years old.
Yeah, how?
You're not old enough to be. He's not old enough to be in the Villages, right? Maybe. The guy that we're talking about is 45 years old. His mugshot says 60. I don't know. But this Florida man has been sentenced because of a golf cart crash. This 45-year-old guy, I thought you had to be 50 or older to live there. This 45-year-old guy pled no contest in Sumner County. He had drugs and he was driving under the influence. He lost his driver's license for 6 months. He has to do 50 hours of community service. His charge, possession of a controlled substance, was dropped in exchange for his plea. He was driving a black 2016 Yamaha two-seater. He lost control of the, it says vehicle, it's a golf cart. It jumped a curb and hit a pickup. And apparently he had been drinking. He had a vape pen, which tested positive for THC. Oh, but my favorite is what he was drinking. What? Yeah. This is the best. The affidavit notes that the Florida man was also in possession of a jar of Old Smokey's moonshine. Old Smokey's moonshine.
What flavor was it?
Old Smokey's
pretty good.
It doesn't say. I mean, there's like all kinds. I mean, you can get like, what is it? It's a Tennessee moonshine. They have, can I just say, they literally have a cookie dough one. That seems to me gross. I got to say, that seems nasty. A cookie dough moonshine?
I don't know. I had a banana pudding one. Moonshine.
Now, I get the chocolate and fresh strawberries one. But cookie dough? Like when I'm having cookie dough, the last thing I want is liquor with it, right? I don't know. But they got banana moonshine. They got, apple pie really is like as far as I'll go with a baked good moonshine. I mean, I'm from Missouri. It's literally enshrined in our Constitution that we can make moonshine. I'm not even exaggerating to you. It actually is. Anyway, so he had himself some Old Smokies. The article does not say what flavor of the Old Smokies it is. He failed all his sobriety exercises and he was had a 1.67 blood alcohol content. So there you go right there. Don't drink and drive a golf cart in the villages. Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
Admiral, I wanted to clarify the position on TikTok. So the administration still has concerns, security concerns about TikTok, even though the campaign has now joined it.
Again, I cannot speak, nor will I speak for the campaign. I can't do that or their decisions. Nothing's changed about the national security concerns. From the NSC's perspective about the use of TikTok on government devices, that policy is still in place.
But surely there must have been some conversation between the White House here and the campaign on whether it was appropriate for the campaign to use it. Right?
I can't speak to that.
You can't? I mean, the White House did. I mean, he went out and was like, hey, guys, I'm on TikTok. His campaign announced this on Sunday. They're like, yeah, we're on TikTok. He literally signed a bill banning it on all government devices that federal employees had, but now he's on it. I mean, he threatened to ban it like last year. Here's a piece from CNN. Biden administration demands TikTok's Chinese owners spin off their share or face a U.S. ban. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can follow along on all social media. You can also follow on Substack, Chapter and Verse. Discussion at YouTube, the video component, the simulcast of the radio program, also viewable channel 347, DirecTV as well. So he was going to ban it. He said, you got to spin off your shares, you're going to get banned. Apparently that didn't happen. I mean, they made that. That was his Committee on Foreign Investment last March via the CNN piece. And they were concerned about the data that TikTok was getting, that they were gleaning from people. They had the House Foreign Affairs Committee, they voted to advance the Deterring America's Technological Adversaries. They were preparing for like a full ban on this app. And they already banned it for all federal employees. But yet his campaign goes out there and was like, oh, by the way, here we are. We got this ad. And then we have this situation. It's just a mess. They're a mess. He probably can't remember. That's what Robert Hur was getting into, the special counsel's report. It's probably what he was getting into. They can't remember anymore. He just doesn't have any mental acuity. He just doesn't know. So that was John Kirby that you heard the video that we played coming in. He can't answer that question. They keep saying that refer to, you have to ask the campaign about that. Okay, the campaign's the president's campaign. I mean, he's a federal employee. He and his campaign are on TikTok. Don't you think that sends a kind of a bad message? You think? especially when you're trying to push everybody off of it. But, you know, that's just the way, that's the way they're operating. It's the way they're operating. A few other things that we're touching on today. We have Senator Rand Paul as well, who's going to be joining us because he was going to be joining us video. Now he has to do a phoner because he's going back on the Senate floor. They're having back and forths over. Actually, it's pretty troubling. I'm going to pull this up. The bill for the Ukraine supplemental, they've got some shenanigans in this. They have a poison pill buried in the text of the bill that essentially sets up like any kind of future impeachment of a Republican, you know, president, depending on how 2024 goes. So we're gonna talk with him about all of that. Now, the other issue, because we've been following the latest with this Lakewood church killer or attempted killer, and I had made the point a little earlier that this was a pretty big deal. The fact that you have, it should not take more than 30 seconds to figure out the sex and physical description of a criminal, of a suspect, especially if public safety is at stake. But we have news outlets twisting themselves by semantics into these pretzels, and everyone seems to be trying to indulge the political sensitivities of the attempted killer than they do the safety of the innocent. Because this was a trans terrorist that had a Free Palestine sticker on the rifle of his gun, and they were identifying, I mean, is it a chick on testosterone? Did we ever figure it out? Or is it a dude pretending to be a chick? Regardless, from El Salvador, listed as white. You could be looking for a completely opposite sexed person who's not at all the ethnicity that, oh my gosh, it's just mind boggling. This is what I talk about when we say that, you know, the stuff like Bud Light and all of that, it's not just about beer and it's not just about a commercial. It's about continuing to mainstream this stuff. Because now you literally put the public at stake, their safety at stake with us. Now, speaking of the public and other things at stake, I have a really dumb story for you. I just saw actually this. New York City is a mess. They had their city council. Do you remember, was the guy's name Eric Garner? Was that the guy's name who was selling loose cigarettes? He violated the Lucy law.
Sounds right.
So New York City Council some years back banned the sale of loose cigarettes, right? And they then, when they realized that they were continuing unabated, they instructed police, per city council, they instructed the police to more aggressively enforce this law. And that ended up with a guy's death. So now get this, because it's all in the name of green. The city council in New York is they've proposed already to ban detergent pods and a number of different types of dryer sheets in a green crackdown. And if you're caught selling them, you pay a $1,200 fine. It's called the Pods or Plastic Bill, introduced by a moronic city council member named James Girano. It criminalizes selling any pods and any laundry sheets if they use polyvinyl alcohol. Fines for selling the pods would start at $400, double for a second violation, $1,200 if it's more than twice. And they said it would require education and outreach to businesses on the ban for the first year. Now, PVA dissolves in water, but they say it breaks into microplastic pieces, blah, 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 blah. You're not eating it. If you're not filtering your water enough, then that's your problem, I guess. Can we just stop with this stuff? Now they're doing with the detergent pods. Yes, Kane, don't put it in Slack. What are you saying?
I just want to know why policy is pushed through that only serves morons, that is the result of what morons do. Why is policy set? Because morons do stuff.
That's a $1 million question.
It's absurdity.
It's ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. $1,200 fine. That's nuts. They've solved all their other problems, apparently. So what do you think that's going to do? Now you're going to police cracking down on people selling laundry pods? I'm sure that's going to go a long way into helping ease back the increased assaults on NYPD, right? I'm sure that's going to go a long way.
I've been in laundromats where I actually bought a pod or two off of someone where I didn't have my detergent with me. I've done that. So that would be a crime?
That would be a crime in New York. Yeah, you can't sell pods. No individual. How much do you want to bet that this is like a more about taxes than anything else? Because the loose cigarette sales, the Lucy laws, they pushed that because they felt that they were losing a lot of tax revenue. And people would go out of their way to purchase singular cigarettes. And then they ended up being told, police were told to more aggressively enforce that law by city council. And not months later, you got a guy who was killed because of it. Just wild. So this is just pretty, this is pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff. Now, the Super Bowl ads, there were two Super Bowl ads that were, one of them was blasphemous and conflated, basically servitude with affirmation. And the other was that it was a prayer app that Mark Wahlberg is involved with. That one seemed fine. The He Gets Us ad, so Lorraine was doing some digging. The He Gets Us stuff, so check this out. That was the ad where they had all these weird AI-generated images, and they had like a lady who was in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic, and someone was washing her feet, and then there was a Jewish person washing a Muslim woman's feet, and all this other stuff. Apparently, the He Gets Us, per Lorraine, is the former marketing guy from Compassion International, and they're funded by the Hobby Lobby family, and the son of the Hobby Lobby family serves on the board of the organization. And they had previously, when they ran ads the last couple of years, they had a group, the group that was involved with that was called the Servant Foundation, but because they were for biblical marriage and pro-life, they didn't get a lot of support. So the He Gets Us campaign, they created a new entity to handle that. And the son of the Hobby Lobby guy, it's a three-person board for that. And the CEO is from Compassion International. So yeah. There's some of the backstory with that ad, but I just thought it was blasphemous because, like I said, it affirmed it, or it conflates servitude with the affirmation of sin. And they're bad. They were so bad. I don't understand what the point of it was. Was it to say, like, unless you affirm this sin, or if you object to this sin, then you're not being Christ-like? Is that, cause that's apparently the message that I got from those ads. They were dumb. Now, the one for the Hollow app or the prayer app that Mark Wahlberg does, I think that one was fine. But Mark Wahlberg doesn't push the social justice nonsense that all these other people do. So that was a pretty good ad. That was a pretty decent ad. So coming up, Senator Rand Paul, like I said, he was going to join us via video, but he's going to be on phone because he's got to go back to the Senate floor. They're duking it out over this ridiculous Ukraine supplemental bill. And there's a poison pill that's buried into it. We're going to talk to him about that and a few other things as well. So you don't want to miss that discussion because, you know, he's been opposing a lot of these, you know, the spending bills, the big spending, the foreign aid, all this other stuff. We're going to discuss all that with him here coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I don't even understand this first headline. I'm going to skip past it because it's ridiculous. I don't even know what that is. What is that? I don't know. That's some of the stuff. Let's go to the Fairfield police investigating a Santeria-type ritual involving possible animal origins. I only know Santeria from that song. He doesn't practice Santeria. He doesn't have a crystal ball. Yeah. Fairfield police, this is in Connecticut, are investigating a possible Santeria-type ritual involving what they think is animal organs. They responded to a report of items found at a park that resembled such. They said there's been rising public interest in the investigation after images and information spread on social media. They don't know who's responsible. Is it a prank? Or is it like an actual, like someone was in the, like, did you just leave your little ceremony and like leave all your animal guts behind? How did that... Does it make any... Did they just, like, poof into the ether?
Was it an illegal immigrant that did it?
I don't know. The police are urging residents to report any suspicious incidents directly to the police. Like if you see anyone, you know, chanting over animal organs in a park, then, you know, by all means, let law enforcement know about it. If it's because it's probably weird, just saying, they're probably on drugs. I don't know. Let's see this. California rainstorms brought and kept a lake at Death Valley. It was Badwater Basin, known for its salt flats. That's a real cool name, Badwater Basin. And they said at one point it was 7 miles long, 2 feet deep. But these historic rainstorms, because of the Pineapple Express that lashed California recently, they kept a rare phenomenon around a lake at famed hotspot Death Valley. It's normally a salt flat, but the rains were so heavy and they had flash floods, remnants of Hurricane Hillary. It's the atmospheric river events. They said it allowed. It's too shallow to kayak in, but you can kind of like walk through it. And it's pretty, and that's about it. That didn't really serve any other purpose. It's just pretty to kind of look at. And all the influencers will be out there to take photos, making it really annoying. Parents are fuming after a Montreal area teacher listed her students' art for sale online without asking if it was okay to do so. A lot of parents are like, they want to bring their kids' artwork home, right? And they want to frame it and put it up. And this teacher literally sold it and didn't tell them. She's been taking drawings that they make in class and selling them. And parents say they're outraged because she's making money off of their kids' stuff. Like this one 12-year-old had a piece of art listed for $150 on four different websites. Her drawing and those of other classmates appeared on all kinds of stuff. T-shirts and coffee mugs and iPhone cases and sometimes $35 for one item. And the parents said that they learned what happened when the kids were coming home from school, told them that a classmate found the teacher's website after searching for his name on Google. And they said within minutes, word spread around school as to what they found. But they have literally all their, like on these, like everything. She's monetizing all their stuff. I mean, and the parents are like, you're selling our kids' stuff for profit and you didn't even ask us. You're taking their intellectual property and their creations, selling it without getting their permission, nothing, not even sharing any profits with them at all. That's crazy. So they said the school's called Lester B. Pearson. The Lester B. Pearson School. The school board said they were aware of the situation. They're investigating, etc. But the kids actually are really, the kids are upset. Like one 13-year-old was upset because he came home after he found that his self-portrait was posted on one of the websites and being sold. And they feel exploited. I think that teacher's got to go, honestly, for doing that. That's to me, that's a fireable offense. That's too ridiculous. So coming up, Senator Rand Paul is going to be calling in. He's going to be headed to the floor. There's a poison pill in this Ukraine spending bill. It's even worse than it looks like upon first glance. We're going to discuss it. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The bill basically creates an asylum corps. Okay, it creates a bunch of, you know, thousands of bureaucrats, basically agents, asylum agents, that would be empowered right at the border to either allow people into the country with an immediate work permit. Today they got to wait 6 months. You give them an immediate work permit, you're going to have more people coming. That's a huge magnet. Or they have the power to immediately release them and grant them asylum, which now puts them on a five-year path to citizenship, which is what a lot of Democrats want. They want to turn a bunch of illegal immigrants into citizens, in the hopes that those people will then turn around and vote for them in future elections, grateful because they'll know who let them in. That's a huge problem. That doesn't solve the border. It makes it worse.
This doesn't provide a path to citizenship for any of these people, just to clarify. But it raises...
Yes, it does. Absolutely, it does. No, yes, it does. When you have asylum, you are on a path to citizenship. When you get asylum, you are a year away from a green card and 4 years away from citizenship. Absolutely, it does.
But you said you approved of the asylum changes.
Have the power to grant you asylum. Not even a judge, a bureaucrat.
Mm. This is some of this, I guess, these poison pills that are in this bill, this Ukraine supplemental, the spending bill. More taxpayer dollars being sent to Ukraine, unaccountable. I don't even know what happened to the last billions that we sent over there. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast, terrestrially in one of our markets. You can stream it. Watch the simulcast, the video component as well. YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. That's Senator Marco Rubio on CNN. blasting out the warning for that, what's included in this bill. But then also there's this thing which I've been reading as well, and I'm trying to find, I wanted to read the language in the bill because I saw this from Senator Rand Paul about with this Ukraine supplemental. Apparently the other big bomb that's in this is this impeachment clause, an impeachment clause in this. So essentially, if you're not, if you don't agree to continue to fund Ukraine, you could be impeached. This is wild. Senator Rand Paul was literally on the Senate floor just a few minutes ago. He joins us by phone now. Senator from Kentucky. Senator Paul, thank you so much for joining us and for raising awareness on this, because, you know, you guys get this. You guys see the language on this, obviously, way faster than we do. And I appreciate you warning us about this, because who knows what else is in this bill now. Will you please tell those listening and those watching what this is about? What is this impeachment clause that's buried in the supplemental?
Well, you know, last week I was sort of joking and I said, well, you know, they impeached Trump during his presidency. They impeached him when he was already not president. The next thing they'll do is impeach him before he becomes president. I was joking. And then J.D. Vance found this in the, and this is one good thing of having allies up here. He and his staff found this. The funding goes on into the next presidency. So it's not just funding for 2024, it's going to be for 2025 and 2026. And it puts penalties in there for changing the funding. So they're already covering their you-know-what in case Trump is elected. But realize this is the problem they impeached him for the last time. He said that he wanted conditions. He said there was corruption in Ukraine. I think the Biden family was involved in it. And I want an investigation of that. And I want to make the aid contingent on this condition. And it's funny, the whole media went crazy saying quid pro quo. And it's like, well, the aid is supposed to be conditioned. To me, it was always something that you should do. It was maybe a little different because it was a political opponent, but it really was about corruption. And should they have had an investigation? Should aid be contingent on it? Yes. But now what it sets it up for is if President Trump is reelected or elected again, and he decides that he doesn't want to keep sending this aid and tries to stop it, they're setting him up basically for grounds to try to impeach him again. It's bizarre. But that this fact, that this appropriation is going to go over several years, could actually be used to impeach Trump if he tries to stop it.
This is wild. We're talking to Senator Rand Paul, who joins us on the phone. This is wild to me. So, and as you mentioned, here they went after him the first time because he wanted to, and it was really just a moratorium, a temporary moratorium, just to figure out where our taxpayer dollars was going, where it was going, and to look into, you know, what was the level of corruption here. So they penalized him because he was trying to be accountable for taxpayer dollars and then look into the corruption with the Biden family on this. And now they have these penalties baked into this again. I've never heard, is it unusual to have a penalty like this for a potential incoming president if they don't continue funding, that unaccountable funding for a sovereign nation like this?
There's no way it's accidental. This language is put in there on purpose. They probably couldn't shovel all the money out quick enough, and they wanted to do it over an extended period of time. And they thought, oh my goodness, we have an incompetent president that's not been even deemed able to submit to a legal trial because of his level of incompetency. He might lose. We might get Trump again. And we want to make sure this money goes out. But realize this doesn't happen with just Chuck Schumer. This is Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell joined at the hip, all supporting Biden. And this is McConnell with a small minority, at least in the beginning. 32 of us said no. We think we ought to address our own border first before we start giving money to other countries. And it was about 15, maybe 17 in the beginning. So basically, we had almost twice as many Republicans wanting to defend the border first. But Mitch McConnell wanted the money to go to Ukraine first, didn't care about the border. They put up a border control bill that, as Marco Rubio just said on your program and others have said, was a ruse. It wasn't any good. It actually, I think, was worse than the existing law. Probably one of the worst bills ever negotiated. But it was done really with McConnell's guidance because he didn't really care about the border. He just cares about getting the money to Ukraine.
And with Senator, how does Senator McConnell retain leadership? And when that fight comes up, is there a plan to replace him? And who would step into that? Who would step into that gap?
You know, I think it's unknown. You have to realize it's a real small group of people. You know, unfortunately, only 49 of us. So, you know, it's never a lot. You know, if we win a couple of elections to get the majority, we could be at 52 or 53. But a lot of them, the ones you've probably never heard of, are dependent on McConnell for money. They don't raise their own money. They're not that well-known in their own states, and they depend on him to get reelected. And that dependency on the big corporate money, and his money comes, you know, his money doesn't come in $1,000 increments. His money comes in $1 million increments. So it's hugely wealthy corporations that give to Mitch McConnell super PAC. And then that money gets funneled to members who vote for him, basically. And he's not averse to reminding the membership how much he's given them. It's not uncommon for him to tell mm-hmm. each member in front of everybody else how much he's contributed to their campaign.
So it's sad because it sounds like he's got, you know, obviously an ironclad grip on the direction of the Senate. And without any attention being given to the border, I'm just fascinated as to not just his. I mean, the Democrats I can kind of understand, but for someone who, you know, identifies as a Republican, you know, Mitch McConnell, to make Ukraine funding their domestic issues more so than ours. I mean, I just had a story talking about how it's almost tripled the illegal crossings from the northern border coming into Canada, more mileage, even less staffed than what we have at the southern border, and even fewer legal ports of entry. I mean, this is, you know, on two different fronts now, and nothing, no concern from Senate leadership, from Mitch McConnell.
His grip isn't as ironclad as you might think. I mean, it's more and more tenuous. There's more and more discontent. There's more and more dissent. There's much more public opposition. And a lot of times these have been private internal battles. But, you know, we had one election fight, but still, you know, Rick Scott got only maybe 25% of the votes. But the caucus is changing. And I can tell you that his handling of this has made people who might have been in the middle and didn't vote against him last time, I think, more open to thinking about it the next time around, because basically he's going against what I don't meet anybody. I go to Republican conservative events. I go to Lincoln Day dinners in my state. I meet people on the street. I don't meet one of my voters who comes up and says, oh, I'm so glad that you're not going to waste any money stopping illegal immigration on our border and that it's going to Ukraine. Oh, I'm so thankful you're doing that. No, they're horrified by it. And they, even the ones who might be willing to send some money overseas, say, do it after you fix our border, sir. Please fix our border. Don't let 785,000 people come in 2 months and do nothing and, you know, completely capitulate and then send the money overseas. They capitulated. The border bill wasn't any good, but we could have stuck together. If 41 of us would have stuck together and opposed this aid, we have enormous leverage because the Democrats want to send this money more than the Republicans do. We could have held them up and said, instead of 5,000 a day, we're just going to acknowledge the emergency already exists. Instead of waiting to 5,000 to get to an emergency, the emergency is what happened over the last 2 months. We're going to start with one, and this will be an emergency, but we're not going to stop just people between the ports of entry. We're going to stop everyone for a while. We're going to have a timeout, and we're not going to let any migrants in. We still have a lawful immigration. We still take a million, you know, we take a million people a year. And I'm not opposed to that. I'm fine with legal immigration, employment-based immigration, checking on people, making sure you know who they are. But I'm against unlawful mass migration.
Right, right. We're talking with Senator Rand Paul out of Kentucky. Last question for you, Senator. Going back to this supplemental, I was just looking at some of the notes here that Vance's office had put out as well. $1.6 billion foreign military financing in Ukraine, $13.7 billion for the Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative. The funds allocated expire September 30th, 2025. And that would be a year into, if Trump wins in 2024 this November, that would be a year into his second term. Is there kind of a two-part question? Number one, is this bill, I mean, I feel like this bill with this in here is going to pass the Senate because it's so close. The margin of error and margin of victory that you have in the Senate is so close because of, you know, the seats, the balance of power. But is there any way, if something like this were to pass, can you sort of mitigate the effects of this after the fact? I don't even know how that would be done, but, you know, I'm curious.
Everybody listening to this program needs to write Speaker Mike Johnson and say, stick to your guns and don't bring this monstrosity up. This pays for welfare in Ukraine. It pays for government salaries in Ukraine. It pays for small business loans. You know, ladies' handbag shop was getting small business loans from us. So this is a terrible bill, and it can be stopped. It's going to pass the Senate because Senator McConnell cares more about Ukraine than he does our border. But it will not pass in the House if it's not brought up. And Johnson has the ability not to bring it up. And the problem is many of his pronouncements have been good, only to be folded or changed later on. He passed Israel aid paid for. But now he's gone back on that and tried to pass it unpaid for. And I think he wasn't successful. But the thing is he needs to stick by his guns on this. He has all the leverage in the world, and he could do what McConnell refused to do over here, and he could force them to take border security. If they want this, he should look them in the eye, say, real border security, which is like House Bill 2 or nothing, and stare them down.
I really hope he does. I hope he sticks to his guns. A lot of people have been kind of wondering about how much political capital he has, and I know that the last time around with that immigration bill didn't go so great for Republicans in the House, so we're going to see this time. But we're grateful to you, Senator Paul, for bringing this up to everybody's attention as well. And I hope to talk with you again soon. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Of course. And that's Senator Rand Paul. And make sure you check out his, if you haven't looked at it yet, The Great COVID Cover-Up, his book, which is, that's like one of the most thorough books I think I've ever read. It's almost an academic book. It really is. Not just like a political book. It's almost like a, it's like part political thriller and part an academic book. Like you could study it, like you can have it in colleges. But that's pretty unbelievable. And I'm looking at some of the wording of this now. That amazes me that you can apply a penalty to a future president or a potential president, depending on the outcome of the election in November. Because Senator Paul, as he explained it, is right. If Trump or, you know, God help us all, if Biden is elected again, if any, either of them, just let's just say that Biden, you know, had a Fetterman and like recovered in a smart way. If they, whoever's president, if they stop the funding, the $1.6 billion for foreign military financing, $13.7 for the Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative, what is that? Then you literally could be impeached for violating a completely arbitrary budget law. Seriously, that's wild to me. And where is Mitch McConnell on that? Aren't they visiting Ukraine? That's what I was wondering. So that's this is pretty amazing. So it's a way for the neocons in to try to force foreign policy on an administration instead of allowing for an administration to make foreign policy and direct it themselves. This is wild.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
The most difficult part about a meeting with President Biden is preparing for it, because he is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
Is he talking about Hunter? Or, I mean, Joe Biden? Who is he talking about?
No idea.
That's Mayorkas trying to sell us on Joe Biden being these things, because I don't believe that. And then listen to James Carville say that Biden is not going to be debating. There's not going to be any presidential debates. It'll be like the first election ever. This is so dumb. But this listen to Carville on this.
Well, you don't accept the Super Bowl interview. You're, I don't know, pulling averages, you're 3 points down in a two-way. It's the biggest television audience, not even close. And you get a chance to do a 20, 25-minute interview on that day. And you don't do it, that's the kind of sign that the staff or yourself doesn't have much confidence in you. There's no other way to read this. And he's not going to do debates. He is old. I know what it is, because I'm almost as old as he is. And it's never going to get better.
Never going to get better. They're not going to have a debate. It's just not going to happen, which is kind of depressing. It's just weird that we're in that situation. Okay, today's stupidity came.
It is Karine Jean-Pierre.
No.
She's really trying to pass off. I mean, this is gaslighting Olympics here. Let's, Juan, go ahead and play it, please.
ABC News Ipsos poll shows that 86% of Americans think Biden is too old to serve another term. That is a higher percentage than what we found in a previous poll in September. So clearly polling shows this Biden change that perception.
So look, we're going to continue to lead on leadership, right? We're going to continue to focus on what this president has been able to get done, president has been able to get done on behalf of the American people.
Yeah.
And look, I'll quote a little bit of what the First Lady said, I think incredibly well, just a couple
here
days ago.
Here it goes. Here it is.
President Biden does more in 1 hour than most people do in a day.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. Like, what kind of hour? Is it like a week-long hour? Folks, have a great night. Find us on Substack, Chapter and Verse. God bless.